trust everybody remembered to set their clocks back last night. If you didn't, it's only 10 o'clock, not 11 o'clock. You have not missed donuts, and I am not that strong. Welcome to the adult Sunday school time here at Bethany Chapel. And no, I am not that strong. My name is Brian Caskey, and I am the same state. This is a time designed to be one of study. But it's also a time to discuss our thoughts. If you would like to add to what we're discussing, please feel free to interrupt me. I am going to do something that my father taught me not to do. I am going to read the bulk of my thoughts today. We hope to have time for discussion at the end, if I can get to the stuff that I have in 15 minutes. So I would like for you to, things develop, begin to formulate your thoughts, to share a testimony or a thought or an idea or an experience. We have just completed a study for the last 6 weeks on the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ, which is led by Dr. Jerry Hawthorne. We thank Jerry for his gift of teaching and his willingness to use it amongst us. As the elders thought and prayed about what to take on next, it seemed first fitting that perhaps between now and Christmas, we take some time for a little review. So for the next few weeks, we're going to look at some basic topics of what we, as born-again Christians, believe, especially as it applies to those who meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Basic ideas, yes, but also hopefully stimulating and thought-provoking. The topics the elders will be undertaking in the next few weeks will be faith, prayer, confession of sin, fellowship, giving, serving one another, and worship. The timeline for this series is somewhat open, and we would love to hear your feedback or thoughts on this. So today we will take up one of Rich Hamilton's favorite topics, that of faith. First of all, let me remove all doubt. As to what type of faith. There are those out there in the world that say we need to have faith in a higher power. Well, let me tell you that my faith is on the Lord God Almighty and Jehovah and Elohim, the great I am, El Shaddai, and I find it quite necessary. Now, certainly, saving faith is a topic all in itself. However, I would like for us to concentrate, if we might, on the faith that we have, the faith that we can have, in the Lord God to order our everyday life. Let's be prayer. Dear Lord, Master, we come before you this morning, and ask you to continue to bless us with that one this morning. Bless the word that is present to you in the gospel. Why do we need faith? Why do we need God in our everyday life? Now, there are brothers and sisters who do believe, honestly, that God does not interfere in our day-to-day. I disagree. We're going to look at this. I believe that we need God in our everyday life because we live in a fallen world. And bad stuff happens. And I must say that Lydia looked over my notes and edited them. She said I used the word stuff. So, you're going to see. We see evidence of this in the papers and on the news and on CNN every day. Bad stuff happens. Sometimes. Bad stuff happens to us. Our little world. Bad stuff. Hard stuff. It seems that once in a while, it appears the darkest, before things go completely off. And then, before it falls right up in the end. And then, what can we do now? What matters this better? Who's in charge anyway? What is doing in the way of luck? And it goes hard when the path is unclear, when all we can see sometimes is a foot in front of us as we go down life's road. When we go for help, that's the time when our faith is the most essential. I have a lot of verses here, so we're going to jump around a bit. And I'm not only, I apologize, every time I'm not only going to jump from verse to verse, we're going to swap some translations. Okay. Book of John, chapter 14. I am a victim of my upbringing. And there are times where the NIV, even though I love it, will not do. John, chapter 14. Verse 1. I must confess that I like the King James because he is. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, my Father's house, and many mansions. God does not want us to be afraid. How many times in John's gospel did he tell? I don't want you to be afraid. So by definition, when the path gets rough, it isn't to scare us. I don't like talking about following. I can't see. I must have, but things can go ahead. Things can be terrible. Things can be afraid. I don't know all kinds of stuff. God doesn't want you to be afraid. But the path is rough. It's just not you. It's not to be strong. It's scary. But not your heart. Because there is a mansion that has been. There's a mansion that has so we know in the end, he wins. He does not want us to be afraid. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Here again, I apologize, but I meant to get to the old. In James, the Bible right there, the one that got me to your name. And then I read, I'm sorry. He did not accept. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. What we cannot see. It's the evidence that it's there. The Spirit resounds inside us. Oh, no. It's there. We don't see him. We got a little Polaroid snapshot. Kind of how it's out of focus. In Revelation. We don't see, but we know it's there. Because we have faith that the Holy Spirit gives us as it bounces around inside us. Romans chapter 3, verses 28 to 30, tells us that we are justified by our faith. Not by works, not by tradition, but by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, tells us that we are justified. I'm not sure what that says about me. It says that, right? Me. What a phenomenal thing. How many of you saw the back of the bulletin today, heard Jill, read the testimony from that session? Japanese lady, 3 years attending the Bible study with her. She's post-post, she's dark-post. Really God opened the faith my eyes. 1 Thessalonians. No, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. Disturbs us a little bit. It says that faith is a fight. Fight's a good fight of faith. Who doesn't want you to have faith this morning? What's his name? The devil. But he's battling now. And your faith is wavering. Is that God? No, that's not what he means. When you feel that fear, when you feel the trembling in your soul, that does not come from up there. Conviction, oh yeah. Condemnation, maybe. Yeah. Come on, I don't mean to. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul in his love for Timothy, he says, struggle, don't give up, wrestle for it. In 2 Timothy, what's Paul saying? He shows Timothy's heart. Chapter 4. I think he's a man or two things. Things are tough. Things are rough. Paul had nothing to do with the security of his salvation. He kept his soul in Jesus' name. Why did he tell him to brag? Was Paul bragging now? No, no. He's trying to encourage Timothy. I'm a sinner. I'm weak. I did it. You can do it. Hold tight to Jesus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Oh, just go this section. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. There's telling the Thessalonians, if your faith in God has been known everywhere, it's been made known everywhere. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul tells the Thessalonians, I want you to know that my visit to you was not mistaken. Now the Thessalonians only got Paul for 3 weeks. And there was a riot. And they didn't get to see him. Did they understand God's will? Did they understand the big picture? Faith sometimes it seems that we only need it in the heart. Should I say, we need it all the time. We find out how much we have in the heart. Or at least how strong our faith is in the heart. In his sermon, Dr. Stoll calls the hard times life's valley. How sweet. Valleys can be very deep. Very wild, broken and filed, test that faith. The dark times which make a break, the times which show us what we need, the painful times, the subject that we don't even talk about, the times I have, those questions. You can all see the faith of Moses in the book of Exodus. It's summarized in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 29. He was a great leader of the children of Israel. But what of Amram and Jezebel? Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. Exodus chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 11. You think for a minute that they were able to understand God's plan and see God's victory while they were alive. You think that they understood this side of glory, how their son was to be used by God to free his people? I'll be honest with you, I don't think that they got to see the answer. They had to live out their faith without an answer in their lifetime. says they're greater than them. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. It says, and Amram and Jochebed saw that Moses was no ordinary king. What do you think this child is for? Better yet, ask Kohath if Moses was an ordinary king. So what was the difference? And how did they see that God allowed them to see? Remember, when Moses left Egypt, he was a young man. He was gone for 40 years. You think they survived that? They were slaves. They didn't see God in their lifetime. How can you live in faith and not see? Another example. God tells us that men is highly favored by God. Luke chapter 1, 15. Do you think there's one need that she understood the whole thing? Because many times, Mary treasured these things in her heart, stored up these things in her heart. She was trying to make sense of it. Do you think at the foot of the cross, that Mary's heart was that she looked at her oldest son and called one of his friends to take care of her? You think maybe she had a couple of questions about God's big picture? What happens when it doesn't add up? When it doesn't count up? When the columns and the rows don't balance? Do we continue to trust? Do we continue to believe? Do we continue to follow? Or do we say, hey, I have rights here. I have rights. I'm an American. I want my fair share. I want to be. I have to look at the master plan. God, I don't need to be critical. It's true. I want to see the math. I want to understand why I have to go through. Just let me know. What's going on there? Why am I suffering this pain? Why am I not just praying God? Why did you take me? Why haven't you given me? God, why am I sending you? Why haven't you rewarded me like the man? Why am I riding the bench? Why can't I sing as Titan? Yes. Why am I debating? Why am I crippled? Why did you let me be sick? Why did you allow this to happen? Do you love me? Do you love me? Did you ever find yourself wanting to ask God? What's the answer? It's a possible solution. It's a possible answer. Sometimes, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 tells us three things today. Ask, seek, ask. Sometimes it's because we haven't asked God what we have. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us what? But sometimes, because our priorities are mistaken. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is the hand of the king. And then all these things will be done. But sometimes, Luke chapter 22, verse 31, let's look at that. That is a screaming voice. What's that say? Who knows what that is? Scary verse. Hey, wow. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Simon! Simon! Peter! Cephas! The rock! I'm going to build my church on. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. You ever seen wheat sifted? I'm a farm boy, so we've done it on occasion. You drop it in a good stiff breeze onto a hard surface from some distance, and you let the wind blow across it, and it takes the stuff out of it, and the grain goes down. It is possible that God has given the devil permission to do this work. James chapter 2, verse 5. It says that God has chosen the fool. I like that. Sometimes it's just part of the plan. It's part of the master plan for us to be used. Sometimes it's so that we can help others go through difficult things. Martha and I lost a baby. Between my fingers, it makes no sense. For Martha to have babies that fall off the rug, she's got a full day, 23 hours, maybe 5 kids. Healthy pregnant, work, basically do everything. He explained to me why we lost the baby. It makes no sense. Absolutely no. So let me tell you this. In spite of the pain and the agony that it caused, that was David Easton. Some period of time later, to go to a hospital and just spend an evening, spend a night, an entire evening, entire day, night, with a brother who lost the baby. Right there in the home, and dramatic. I would have never said this. Never in a million years. It doesn't add up. Sometimes so that we can grow in trust. I watch the board. Sometimes it's to prepare us for something in the future. We will not. No. We stop. We go. But Brian, doesn't God understand that He could give you so much more if I was a great preacher, a great singer? Does God not understand that if I was rich, I'd be more useful to Him? Look, I got it all pointed out right here. 300%. What? Appendix to the plan? If I was famous. You know what a great testimony I'd be if I was famous? How? How about if I was just rewarded for the work that I've done? There would be so much more use. Are we trusting God, or are we just plunging along in life? How can we trust God? James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith change him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. One of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing by the physical means. What good is it? And saying no faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, God gave us faith so that we could use it. By definition, it's our spiritual muscle. We need to flex. We need to have the strength to pass because of our spiritual strength. Sometimes, even unto death, we need to believe. I mean, believe. I'm not talking about lipstick. You know what the crazy thing is? The crazy thing about raising kids is you can tell them all you want about what you believe. You know what? They know. They know right down to the truth. I can tell my boy, you don't treat your mama like that. I can tell my boy, when you get married, you love your wife. They live it. If I don't live it, it won't work. They won't believe it because I don't believe it. You gotta believe it, and you believe it, and you're in the same time. You sit in, you celebrate, and you believe. If you need that reason, to believe that Jesus died to take us, and do we believe that? Are we willing to trust everything? You must remember that these human souls are not into salvation, but because we love God and seek to follow in His sanctuary, and obey God by our actions and by our faith. That is the reward. That is the truth. He gives and makes sense. And the love of the world is the truth. That is the truth. Remember our Lord's words in the garden. Not my will, but His. That He sees. What's the active pronoun in our prayer life? Me, I, am, that He, God, you. My will, my strength, and His. I must confess that sin. The work that God brings back to me time and time and time again, we all do. That's what we're at. Not by might. I know you. I have a feeling you guys get me to do. I can just say, hey, y'all just can't be the new front door that they have to do. And I'm not. Brian Jeff is doing that. Muscle through the work he's doing in the face. It's Robert Kent. Brian Jeff, you cannot muscle through the work that needs to be done. I'm sorry, we're lowering my voice. I'm sorry, listen. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, lowering my voice. The apostles were faithful. Where are they? They were killed. Right now, today, at this very minute, in this world, brothers and sisters, in persecution. Right now, today, not last week, now. In some places, life is hard. It's real hard. And bad stuff is happening. Not real weakness. But if this country is our continued going to know the plan that it's currently on, and the Lord cares, my heart tells me he thinks things are rough up here in the United States. Why? These wooden hollows. And things could get rough. But our Savior is here. He loves us. Our God is in control of our very life. And we can fully turn our thoughts and our lives into different. Truly fight the good fight of faith. For him and rest in him. Now notice fighting the good fight of faith is not Dick and I fighting the good fight. Amongst us is fighting the devil, not each other. Brethren miss that a lot. It's evil, I can say that. If we can truly fight the good fight of faith, that could be life changing and something else. And be careful for can we truly, honestly, today, right now, sing those good old words? The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of peace. We see our God, the order and the law. Never change. Be faithful with me. My God does understand the signs of peace that he has. Now, I've got a lot of information out here. I'm 35 minutes later. We have 10 minutes. Questions, comments, disagreements, thoughts I missed, things I did not properly translate. If you're not properly read, but we'd also like to hear testimony and thought and faith, living it out. And then, you want to listen. I want you to stand up and read it so everybody can hear. We're the poster child for everybody hearing it. Stand up and read it for me. Hebrews chapter 6. So it's not enough. There was chapter 3, 16, verses 16, 17, 18, and 19. It's not enough then if you believe. If you have to actually believe, you got to put it right down. Okay. So it's obedience. Okay. See a lot of heads nodding. Okay. And I dawned on it early, too. Good thing. Psalm 91:1. Mm-hmm. Dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God and my God. Easy to say, we believe that. What about when the roads are dropping? You got to put it on something to see. Next. Come on. Everything will work out. Christmas present. He told him it's for. He's rich in things. Not rich in money. God owes some of us from the wrong side of the world. Why? I don't know. Ask him. I would not have chosen you. Thank you. Dick Robert invited me to take my 15 years. That verse in that song says, in every change, He's faithful will remain. Bradford and I have had many long conversations about the strength of our parents. Brad's parents, from foundation to start. My dad, Paul. They no longer strength. Does not make it easy. It's hard. It's hard, kid. It's hard explaining to my daughter why my daddy won't come here this thing. I can't explain that one. It makes no sense. It does not change the rock. The rock still there. I can't even say that. I can't say that. He was pushing him beyond the strength that he had in his flesh. I'd like for this cup to not, I don't want to drink it. Let it pass me by. There's nothing wrong with you telling God exactly how you feel. You will not stop him. You cannot confess a sin that he doesn't already know. You can't confess a fear that he doesn't already understand. The difference comes in what Christ did. I don't want this cup, but if it can't pass, I will drink. Now, is that positive mental attitude? I don't think so. It's faith. It's faith that God, in spite of that, in spite of that, this man I hear from me has been a stalwart in my life for 15 years. He first walked in my office in November of 1986. I met him earlier when I was at the minute. I remember him. In spite of what we mean to each other, it is possible that he will fail me. It is possible that I will fail him. I will go to his funeral or he will get mine. Does that, when Vic's gone, goes home or I leave Vic, does that negate? No, it doesn't. Because our relationship is for eternity. We will be together in heaven. In spite of that, you will be. In spite of that. Okay, one more. Just